All right, let's get started. I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and today we're going to take Monsterpocalypse beyond its limits in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. So welcome back to Season 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. Which, of course, is a great site to store, manage, and share your miniature wargame army list with the rest of the world. So last episode, myself, Ryan, and Kyle all gave our reviews of Privateer Press's most recent game, Monsterpocalypse. That's the box sitting over here. And all in all, we said it was a lot of fun to play, but I guess the one complaint I had, and I guess it kind of reflected on the others, is that it's a fairly rigid, fixed format for basically one-on-one kind of tournament-style matches. And the way the maps and things are set up, the maps really aren't big enough to really allow for larger battles. You know, maybe you want to have like a 5-on-5 monster rumble with lots of guys going around. You know, some of the crazy things like that. So my goal here today is to take a look at some of the ways we can customize Monsterpocalypse and make it a little more friendly for larger scale battles. So first things first. What you need to do is, obviously, if you look at the map here I'm holding right now, each player essentially has, you know, obviously two pools. A monster pool for their extra monster figures. A unit pool for their extra unit figures. They've obviously got the power dice well, the unit dice well, the monster dice well, and kind of the extra dice wells, they call them. They call them all dice wells. But, so what we need to do, if we're going to go ahead and make our own custom map, we need to take these various attributes and find a different way to represent them than on the sides of the map as they currently are in the game. So that's first things first. We've got to go ahead and build something to replace that. So what I've got in front of me here is a couple different things. We're actually going to go ahead and build this out of a mixture of some trash items laying around. And also got off the side here some foam core board, which is going to prove to be the top of it. So for the two pools, like for the unit pool and the monster pool, what I'm actually using is I've cut out the various tray portions of a microwave dinner. So here's the actual microwave dinner tray itself in its entirety. And the large portion where, you know, the entree would normally sit is what I cut out of the tray. And I'm going to use that for the unit pool and another one for the monster pool. And then for the four dice wells, what I'm going to do is I actually took some yogurt cups and I cut off the bottom of them. So here's the full yogurt cup. I kind of cut off the bottom so it's relatively low to the ground, you know, relatively small. And these four yogurt cups that I've got here are going to become the four dice pools. So obviously you're going to have, and then you're going to have this whole kind of console thing here. The way it's set up, I got one pool over here for the monster pool, maybe in unit pool, depending on what side you want to do it. Then two dice wells next to it, and same thing over here. I got the other pool over here, the other two dice wells next to it. It's going to be a big open space, so we're actually going to have some kind of custom-built monster health trackers. So the one thing is, when you're cutting these things out, obviously you can use whatever you want to do these little pools. It doesn't really matter. I chose just little bits of trash I got laying around, because might as well reuse them instead of throwing them out. When you, for example, when you cut up the other pools, make sure that whichever one is essentially the largest pool in terms of depth. Like, for example, here, the trays for the food are going to be the deepest ones. Make sure all the other pools are shallower than it. So if I were to hold this thing up here, let me walk a little bit closer to the camera. So if I were to hold this pool up here, you can see that the yogurt cup is not as deep as the actual food tray. So that way, when you get this thing sitting on the ground, it's going to be more level if you've got, say, the two large pools on either side are what's actually contacting the ground instead of maybe one or two yogurt cups. That way it won't kind of bounce around as much as you move stuff around. So, the next thing you're going to do is decide how big do you want this pool to be. Or sorry, how big you want your monster, how big you want your command console to be. So I've got a little measuring tape sitting here. Wasn't planned, but I'll take it. And decide on the length. I mean, because you want a decent chunk in the middle, maybe about 8 to 10 inches in the middle, as to where you're going to go ahead and have some custom monster health trackers. So that way you can have like 5 monsters out there without buying 5 of their ridiculous little booster pack things. So you want maybe the whole thing to be a total of, we'll say about 2 feet. So it'd be kind of a little bit big. So we'll make a 2 feet thing. So that's what this foam core board is going to come into. So let me set this guy down over here. Gonna get him out of the way. Let's clear my little pools out of the way. And what you're gonna wanna do, also obviously determine you got the length and the width. So we're gonna make it a width of about 10 inches. So we're gonna cut out a piece of foam core board that's 10 inches long, 10 inches long, 2 feet. Okay, 2 feet one direction, 10 inches the other direction. You like that idea? That way you can decide whatever length and width is yourself. So let's go ahead and do that and come back in a minute and we'll continue this project. All right, so now we're kind of looking at a close-up of the project here. What I've got in front of me is my foam core board that's 24 inches this way, 10 inches this way. And what we're actually going to do right now, the side looking at it is going to be the bottom, because one, we're going to trace things on it, and two, because there's this massive dent right here. I'm not sure how it got there, but I kind of, when I pulled the sheet out of storage, it was there, so I don't know. So anyway, what you're going to do is take your, here's your food tray and your little yogurt cups, are going to be the dice wells. Let's kind of set them up in the way they're going to be. So we'll put one of the wells on the right-hand side. Pools. One of the pools on the right-hand side and two dice wells next to it like that. And then do the same thing on the left-hand side with the other one over there. Let's put one there. And then the other two dice wells right next to it. Let me just trim this down a little bit. Trim that down a little bit. Okay. So you want to make sure they're in from the edge, maybe, you know, a quarter or half an inch, just so there's a little bit of room to cut. And still want a nice little area right in the middle here where you can put your monster trackers. All right, so now you're going to take a pen, and what you're going to do is trace around each of these things. So this is obviously going to get you a shape of where you're going to go ahead and cut them out, so you have little holes going through the top, and then you glue these things onto the bottom. Okay, there you go. So now if I remove all these, the two pools and the four wells, what you're going to see now is I've got all the little red outlines here of all the things I've got to cut out. Now I'm going to take my hobby knife and cut them out here in just a moment, but the one thing you're going to want to remember is cut a little bit inside the lines, maybe an eighth of an inch in the line. That's where you want to cut. So that'll give you a little glue region where you'll be able to put some glue down and then glue the yogurt cup or whatever you're using for the wells and the pools onto the foam core board. So let's go ahead and do that. We'll come back in just a minute and keep working on this project. All right, so here we are now. We're done cutting everything out. You can see if I hold it up, see all the things cut out there. It's a little bit rough in the cut and towards a few things here. So I'll see if I can go ahead and maybe use some kind of sticker paper to kind of hide that and make things look a little bit smoother. But for right now, for the rough start, we're looking pretty good. Let's see here now. So what we want to do is actually go ahead and attach the various wells and pools to this board here. So let's flip it back over. So the top is facing down. And here we are again. Look at the side with all the little red markings. And I'm holding this thing up now. If you look very closely at some of the areas where I cut, you'll see that I cut a little bit inside the red marking. So there's maybe about an eighth of an inch ring around there, just like I said to do. And that way, that'll give us a place where we can put the glue and still attach the various wells and pools. So let's start with one of the dice wells here, just one of the yogurt cups. Take a hot glue gun, which I got sitting over here now, and run just a small ring of glue in between the red line and where you cut. Just like that there. So now go ahead and stick the yogurt cup down. And now as long as you stick it right within the red ring, it should go ahead and land in the glue, and in a minute or two it'll dry. So let's go ahead and do that for the rest of the items, and we'll come back and we'll pretty much be ready to start adding and finishing touches to this board. Alright, so we went ahead here now, we finished up. I glued all things down the bottom here. If I hold it up, I can shake around a little bit and nothing's falling off. Well, hopefully nothing falls off. This is a new command console. It's kind of crummy looking right now, so we're going to have to go to the decoration phase. And I'm going to go up to my computer, scan some pictures in, kind of print some things out, glue them down, and make this thing look a little bit prettier than what it is right now, because it looks kind of crummy. But that's the next step here. So we're going to go ahead and jump onto my computer and do some work there. So what I've got here is I'm using a program called the GIMP. It's a free open source image editor available from www.gimp.org. And what I'm doing is I'm creating labels for each of the four dice wells. You can see here I've taken pictures of the game components, and I'm basically using those to represent, you know, what each dice well is. So in addition to having the pictures on the dice wells, also I've got these circles drawn here. What these circles are, they're about 2 inches in diameter, and the idea is that this diameter is a little bit smaller than the diameter of the yogurt cup. So when I print these labels out, I'm going to go ahead and take a hobby knife and cut out these circles. So that way, then when I glue these labels down to the command console, not only will I have a nice, you know, looking label, but also the area of the cutout on the command console will be a little bit smoother. And the other thing you have to make is obviously your custom health bars. Now, using the GIMP has a tool called the Blend Tool, which allows you to create a smooth transition from one color to the next.
So in order to keep track of the health of the alpha form of the monster, I started with a dark red color and blended it to orange and made a bar out of that. And obviously to keep track of the health for the hyper form of the monster, I started with a dark red color and blended it to blue. And then below each of the two health bars, I used a text tool and typed in the numbers 0 to 10. And then I went ahead and copied that whole thing over and over and over a couple times. So here I've got a total of actually 7 health bars. So when you print this thing out and glue it down in the center of your command console, using push pins and stick them in the foam core board, you will be able to keep track of the health of up to 7 monsters, allowing you to play much larger games.
So what we're going to do here to finish up our little command console, we're going to go ahead and start gluing down some of the little labels I printed off. So the ones I just showed you on the screen, all I did is I printed them off, and I went ahead and took an X-Acto blade and cut out the circle here that's going to go around the little dice wells to kind of give it a smooth edge. So what I've got to do that with is the spray adhesive. So all you do is put this thing on the ground, pretty simple, and then spray some spray adhesive down around where you're going to glue it. And then very carefully go ahead and stick the labels in the right spots. Obviously make sure they're smooth. It can be quite easy to get little air bubbles in when you put these things down. So there's the one, that looks pretty good. Let's go ahead and put the dice well one right above that guy. So we'll stick that one right up there. And then to finish this thing completely off, we're going to go ahead and take the custom health tracker I printed off and glue that down. And we're going to do that just in the same way. So take some more spray adhesive and just kind of spray it all over the middle here. And just kind of stick it down evenly. And that'll work pretty good. So there you go. Now, because we've built this thing out of the foam core board, you can go ahead and use little push pins to keep track of the health for up to, it looks like, 7 monsters I've got here. So we're all pretty much set. If you want to go ahead and make it prettier, obviously add some little labeling up here. You can do that. Maybe make little things go around the actual monster and unit pools over here to make them look smooth, but it's all the basic same techniques. So with that, we're going to call this done, and now it's time to start building the actual new custom map for Monsterpocalypse. So let's head back inside, and we're going to get started on that. Now that we have our command console done, we're ready to go ahead and start building the custom maps for Monsterpocalypse. And what I'm going to do here is actually build them in the modular. So we're probably going to build them in maybe 1 foot by 1 foot square pieces, or maybe 9 inches by 9 inches, just kind of some arbitrary size, so that way you can kind of go ahead and stick the chunks all together and build as big as map as you need for the battle you want to have. So, because there's no point having a really kind of a small battle if you're just doing 3 and 3 monsters versus 10 on 10 monsters, you know? That way you can kind of expand things out and do what you want. And also that way you can create different kind of tile types you can mix and match. Maybe you want one to be a large lake, you can do that. Or if you want one to be a lot of little roads. So we're going to go ahead here and build the tiles out of a foam core board base. And what I've got to say next to me is some more foam core board, but this time I'm actually using the black color. The reason I'm using black in this case is for when you actually go ahead and make these mats, like I got, for example, the ones I got in front of me here that I showed back, I think it was episode 9 of this season. I went ahead and started out white, but I spray painted them all black. Because one, blacks can get you a better base color when you start putting the brown paint for the dirt and then the flocking for the grass on them. And the reason I'm going with the black, even though a lot of times the black's a little bit more expensive because it comes pre-colored versus actual just plain white. What you're going to find though is that when I did the spray paint on these, the white ones, it did cause them to curl a little bit as it was drying. So it kind of gave them a little bit of, they're not really completely flat. It works all right in most circumstances, but it is a little bit annoying. So that's why if I start with the pre-colored black ones, I'm not going to run into the problem with the spray paint drying and kind of make the whole thing curl. So the other things you're going to need is obviously some dirt color. Since Monsterpocalypse does take place in Earth, you probably want to go ahead and make it a relatively Earth tone. So I've got just a basic brown tempered paint. You got a poster paint, really cheap stuff. Don't need anything fancy here. For actual, a little bit of dirt effects, I've actually got, in this Dura cup I got in front of me, actual dirt I went outside and just kind of scooped some up. We're going to glue that down and give some of the dirt a little bit of texture. And also then, inside the bag here, I've got some Woodland Scenics brand flockings. You know, it's pretty typical green flocking. You spread it down, it makes it look like there's a little bit of green grass or kind of that, those kind of things in the ground. And really, that's just about all you're really going to need to start making these squares. So if you've ever seen me do this before, it's pretty straightforward. What you're really going to do is go ahead and measure out the square you want to start with, kind of apply some paint first, some brown paint, put some of the dirt down, you know, make it look like dirt, then spread the rest of the area with grass. So that's what I got to do. So let's go ahead and we're going to start working on one of those right now. So, alright, now we're looking at the project here. What I've got in front of me is the foam core board I just cut out, and I ended up measuring it out to be 24 centimeters by 24 centimeters. The reason I did the centimeters is when I sat down and actually measured the maps, all the squares are in metric. They're 3 centimeters by 3 centimeters. So, the first thing we're going to do is give this thing a dirt base. So, we got over here is our brown paint I'm shaking up right now. We're going to go ahead and just kind of squirt some of it down onto this piece. And just kind of spread it around in one corner for right now. And you got to work quickly because this paint tends to dry relatively quickly. So let's go ahead and take some dirt in some areas you want to have make it and go ahead and let's just spread a little bit of dirt here and there. Kind of give it a little dirt rock effect. A lot of this dirt probably won't stick to the paint, but that's all right. We'll flake it off a little bit later. So let's move to another area that's going to be kind of dirty. Let's make this corner be a little bit of a muddy area. And repeat the process again. So spread some paint out. And within literally maybe 30 seconds at most, go ahead, take some dirt out of your cup and just kind of sprinkle it around. And one more time, let's put some over in this area. So let's spread some more of our paint over here. And then take a little bit of dirt and spread it around. Now what we're going to do is we're going to shake off the excess dirt. So let's go ahead, and I should have put this down first, but we're going to find a newspaper of some sort. So I'll be back in just a minute to finish this little bit up. All right, so after a few minutes, now once the brown paint is dried a little bit, we're going to go ahead and shake this excess dirt off. So what you're going to do is I've got right in front of me an actual little flyer I found laying around. So we're going to go ahead and just pull the foam core board back a little bit and start tipping it forward in the direction opposite of how you're pulling it. So therefore, you start shaking it gently and the dirt's going to start, that's not stuck down, it's going to start sliding off onto the flyer or newspaper, whatever you have underneath you. Just like that. And that's pretty good there. So that's most of it. So pull this guy back up here. You can see some of the dirt stuck on and some of it fell off. So now for the dirt that fell off, take your flyer or newspaper, whatever you're using, and kind of obviously fold it into a V so you kind of collect it all in the center. Get your cup back over here and then just gently pour it back into your cup so you can use it again. Not that like dirt is rare or anything, it's pretty plentiful. At least where I live, and I assume probably where you live too, I don't see why it wouldn't be. So anyway, let's bring this guy back over here and set your flyer down again. Because this time we're going to start applying some of the flocking. But before we do that, we want to make sure we have some time for all this paint to dry. So we'll come back in just a minute or two and be ready to start applying some of the green flocking. Alright, so we've gone ahead and let the paint dry a little bit. So now we're going to apply the green flocking. So let's go ahead. Well, first of all, I guess what I've got here is I got a little empty spice bottle I'm using to hold the flocking. So that way we can kind of sprinkle it on. So take your paintbrush again. Dry it off if you had it in the water. And then the areas that are not covered with dirt, let's start over here. Sprinkle some more, not sprinkle, kind of glob down some more brown paint and kind of fill in all the areas around here that aren't really covered in dirt. There may be a little bit of overlap, which is, it's fine, it's not going to be a big deal. Down like that, over there, there a little bit. So there we go. And then just like with the dirt, what you're going to do is just sprinkle on, this time green flocking instead of the dirt, and just kind of cover up the area you just painted. And then, let's go ahead and fill in the rest of the areas on your board. And just like with the dirt, you want to do this relatively quick. So, you know, within maybe about 30 seconds of applying the paint down, you want to go ahead and put the flocking down. Otherwise, you're going to risk having the flocking not really stick to the paint because the paint will be too dry. And don't worry about putting like lots of flocking on, because just like with the dirt, some of the flocking is not going to stick and you're going to flake it all off. Let's just finish up the last little corner over here. Just like that, we've got all the flocking down. So now we're going to go ahead and do, just like we did the dirt, is shake off the excess flocking. So once again, pull the pull the foam core board back to you, back towards you, gently tipping it up as you go. So you're tipping it toward, in the direction away from where you're facing, kind of thing. And then just start shaking, and a lot of the excess flocking you see is just going to fall right off on the little flyer or newspaper or whatever you've got down there below there. And then you can, if you want, hold it so that you're perpendicular to your mat with one finger at the top to kind of secure it down, and just gently tap it a little bit, and this will cause a little bit extra to fall off. And, you know, some of the stuff that may not be completely stuck, but, you know, later it'll keep it from kind of falling off later as you're playing with the mat. So let's go ahead. And then just like what you did with the dirt, set your little mat off the side a little bit. Open up your container that has the flocking in it and just kind of take your newspaper, your flyer, fold it towards the center to get all the flocking in the center, and then just pour it back into it, the container it's supposed to be in. And therefore you can use it later on other pieces or other training trials for this game. Let's close that up. And let everything dry, and we'll be ready to move on to the next step, which is going ahead and applying some sort of grid to the board. So now we've gone ahead and kind of let everything dry a little bit. We can hold it up here, and you can see the areas of dirt and the areas of grass. And this is the base tile for the new super huge Monster Apocalypse map. And we're going to go ahead now and apply a grid to it. So in order to start making the grid, we're going to have to jump on our computer and do a few things there. So let's head back to the computer and continue working on building the grid for Monster Apocalypse maps.
So when it comes to creating the grid for these tiles, what we're going to actually do is make a template. So essentially we can spray paint the grid onto the tiles. So first thing we're going to do is create a single square that we're going to use. Now, obviously the squares in Monster Apocalypse are 3 centimeters by 3 centimeters. So what I just did here is I just created a brand new image inside the GIMP. And so the GIMP uses millimeters for measurement. I set it to 30 millimeters by 30 millimeters because obviously 1 centimeter is 10 millimeters. So the first thing we're going to do is, using the paintbrush tool, we're going to draw several lines. And essentially how the grid's going to look, it's not going to be a complete grid of crisscrossing lines. What's really going to end up being is kind of a grid of little crosses. And therefore the crosses will basically form the corners of each of the squares. So to create lines in the GIMP, what you want to do is go ahead and put the mouse cursor where you want the start of the line and click the left mouse button. Then holding down the shift button, drag the mouse cursor to the end of where you want the end of the line. You'll see the little line graphic kind of draw out. Click again, and that'll draw the line into place. So we've just gone in here and now created the 4 vertical lines in each of the 4 corners. Now we're going to go back and create the 4 horizontal lines for this single square. Okay, so we're going up and we're finishing up the 4th horizontal line right now. So now we've got the square here, 4 little angles in each of the corners. This is going to become basically the foundation of the grid. So what we want to do is go ahead and choose select all to select the entire square, and now create a new image. And depending on the size of the actual grid you want to spray paint at once, you're going to choose a certain size of the image. I'd recommend probably, well, in the example here, I'm showing you a 240 millimeter by 240 millimeter grid, which obviously would translate to 8 squares by 8 squares. But I found that after doing this 8 by 8 grid, the reality is I couldn't print that out correctly on a normal size sheet of paper. I didn't think to do the translation from, you know, metric to English units prior to actually designing it. So probably a 6 by 6 grid would be better, so 180 millimeters by 180 millimeters. But the idea is exactly the same. What you do is you go back, you select all in the original square, choose copy, and now you paste the square one at a time and basically kind of start sticking the little squares next to each other. And eventually you're going to start to form a row. As you can see here, I just pasted the 3rd square down, and I'm lining it up, so we're going to get a nice row of squares going. And I'm going to keep doing that for the rest of the row. Okay. So now, once I've got an entire row created, what I'm going to do is select the actual row itself, and just start duplicating that. So I don't have to add the whole grid one square at a time. I'm going to start now adding it one row at a time. It'll make things go, well, a lot faster. So there you go, I just select the entire row. I'm going to go and choose copy, and I'm going to choose paste. And this will make a second row. As you can see, I'm just dragging it down there and lining it up right below the first row. Make sure you line up all the spots correctly. Just kind of lock it down in place. And repeat this process over and over again until I've filled up all the rows of the grid. So depending on how big that you chose your tile size to be, it could be 6, 8, you know, squares. Six to 8 rows. But then once this thing is all said and done with, save it off, and you actually just want to go ahead and print it out, And make sure when you print it that you can fit it all with on one sheet of paper without scaling. Because obviously if you start to scale this grid, then the squares are no longer going to be 3 centimeters by 3 centimeters. That's going to create all sorts of problems. So make sure you got a grid of the right size that you can print out without scaling it down. And once you've got it print out, we're going to come back and we're going to finish this all up. And so you show you how to apply the grid to the terrain tile.
So I'm going to go ahead and show you how to finish up this segment for a custom map in Monsterpocalypse. This is the finished one here. It's got the grid all sprayed down on it. So first thing you're going to notice is if I go ahead and get the tile that's got all the terrain put on it, you may have noticed that through the process of the paint, the thing did end up warping a little bit and bending, but there's actually a neat little trick for that. To fix that problem, you flip it over and actually apply a layer of paint to the bottom. And this actually will cause all the forces on it to kind of equal out and smooth it back out. I mean, I was honestly kind of surprised that it actually works. Like the first time I did it, Ryan was like in the family room having some kind of meaningful conversation on the phone. You hear me screaming in the background, holy crap, it worked. So kind of distracted him a little bit. But so it ended up working pretty good. So that's how you smooth it out. Just put a layer of paint on the other side. And now I'm going to go ahead and get the grid actually on the actual terrain here. So what I've got sitting over here is just a minute ago, I showed you the whole cross pattern that was on the screen of my computer. I went ahead, I printed it out using a spray adhesive. I stuck it down to some poster board, in this case at the back of a Frosted Flakes box. And then using very carefully, in a maneuver that will inevitably give you arthritis, take an X-Acto blade and cut out every single one of the little crosses. So it was a rather tedious, rather painful, rather annoying job, but I did it all like that. Now you got a template for spraying paint down onto the custom map tiles. So take your map tile here. Lay it down on the ground, someplace where it doesn't matter if a little bit of paint gets spilled around. And very carefully line up your template to the corner of the map. So let's see, we get lined up like that. And now, using a relatively dark color, or at least some kind of color that's going to stand out from the terrain, so obviously don't use brown or green. I've got gray here, I've used gray and black, both of them stand out pretty well. Shake your spray paint up and go ahead and just apply a layer of spray paint all across the template. Now if I go ahead and pick this thing up, you can see now this corner of the map segment does have a nice little kind of grid on it. And of course, if you've never kind of done this kind of thing before, maybe you want to practice on a few things before you go ahead and try it on your actual terrain tile. So if you mess it up, in practice, it's not going to have to redo all the applying all the flocking and things. But then to finish up the map grids, all you got to do then is take your little template here and line it up then with some of the existing crosses and go ahead and just put another layer of spray paint all across it. And always keep the spray in such a way that you're spraying straight down on top of it. There we go. That came out all right. So there you go. You can see I've got the other half of the terrain tile now covered in the grid. So go ahead and just repeat that process until you got all your terrain tiles covered in grid. And well, we're kind of running out of time for today, so that's a basic start to getting you in creating Monsterpocalypse maps. Maybe in the future here, we got a kind of a long winter come up here in Michigan, so we'll have time to do some little terrain tiles, tree tiles, make some roads. I got a whole bunch of stuff here to show you can make some custom buildings, but I'm also going to do a YouTube video on that in a little bit here. So we'll put that up on YouTube at some point in the near future. And with that, I guess we're pretty much all done for the day. So thanks for watching the Tabletop Battlefield. Once again, I'm Jason. Questions, comments, send them over to jason@rocklesoftware.com. That's rocklesoftware.com. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/TT_battlefield. And Ryan, Twitter?
RMadman4.
That's twitter.com/RMadman4. He's operating the camera right now. So I guess that's about all. I guess that's about all I got for you. So thanks for watching. Have a happy Halloween. We'll see you again in 2 weeks in the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007-2008 Rocko Software, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.patefighter.com and is used under a Creative Commons license.